Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A lot's happened with the Mets the last couple of days, and I wanted to talk to this guy this morning. I was on his podcast last week, We Gotta Believe, and that is KFC from Barstool Sports, of course. And he had a tweet yesterday that made me laugh out loud. It said, meet the Mets, greet the Mets, step right up and kill yourself. And he joins us right now. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
How we doing, fellas? Boomer, you been sharp this morning?
I appreciate that, Kevin. Thanks for noticing.
So what's the thing that pissed you off the most the last couple of days?
Oh, my God. Where do I begin? Between the Mets and the Jets, it's been brutal. It's been it's been normal. I guess that's what makes me – that's what pisses me off the most is that, like, I shouldn't be surprised by any of this. Like any of my buddies, anybody at Barstool who's a Yankee fan or outside of this stupid Mets life is like, why are you even surprised? Why are you even upset? Of course Cespedes breaks his ankle, quote-unquote, stepping in a hole in a ranching accident. But I guess I still give them the benefit of the doubt, still show up every night at 7 o'clock, still go out to games, still watch the stupid team. And I'm still shocked and surprised when something ridiculous like this happens.
Well, I mean, what would you expect Brody Van Wagenen to do? You know, he's a rookie general manager. He's a former agent. He's got a number of his clients on the team. I mean, what would you want him to do?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know, man.
I don't think
he knows.
Know,
like, here's the thing. First of all, I am. If Brody Van Wagenen wasn't a tall, good-looking guy with a cool name, nobody would care about Brody Van Wagenen. Nobody would be on this Van Wagenen. All he did was make a move for a reliever and his old-ass second baseman client. This guy, all he does is line his own pockets and care about himself. And all of a sudden, we're ready to turn the keys over to him like he's got some Mets revolution going on. Why? What have we done? What are we doing here? What is the why all the fanfare? Why?
Yeah, I mean, I think that because of his personality, I think that there were some fans, including me, that I thought he could convince the Wilpons to get back to the old money-spending ways. That's sort of the thing that I fell in with the Brody Van Wagenen and stuff, and I was completely wrong about that. But I think that's what it was.
The only thing we could do, Gio, because the only reason that it might be a good idea to hire an agent as your GM is this idea, well, maybe he knows how to get owners to spend money.
Right.
That's it.
Well, you know, I will say this, that a number of his clients have gotten a lot of money from the New York Mets, including Yoenis Cespedes, including Todd Frazier, including Jacob DeGrom now.
Yeah, Robbie Cano.
You know, Robbie Cano, of course, trading for him and bringing him over and having to pay him. So, like, he's got high-paid players here. The problem is one of them just fell in a hole and broke his ankle, which I get is asinine and only can happen to Yoenis Cespedes and the Mets. I get that. I'm all in on that negativity aspect of it. But my problem with all of this, Kevin, is that he is a novice at the job he has taken. And remember who he replaced. He replaced Sandy Alderson, who's been a lifer in baseball. And, you know, he's done a lot of other things behind the scenes that supposedly are going to help the Mets moving forward in the future. But the thing that bothers me more than anything, and this is the thing that Terry Collins was talking about a few weeks ago on FS1, if you saw it. He was talking about how these managers are no longer the personality managers that the Lou Piniellas were, maybe the Joe Girardis were. That these guys are all like robots and they're being told what to do.
Yeah.
And if they are being told what to do, then I'm sorry, it doesn't matter who you have in there as a manager.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I feel like it's all analytics now. I feel like it's all behind the scenes. But I do feel like the one thing that a manager can provide, or the point of a manager now, is to manage motivation and expectations and ego and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like this team is completely lifeless. And, you know, at what point do you feel like you have to make a move to do something?
Well, I
don't expect a new manager to come in and fix everything. But at the same time, when it's same old Mets and the wheels are coming off, I don't have a problem with at least trying something.
Yeah, well, the problem is that the Mets right now, even though they won last night, are in the midst of what they did last year in May. And that was collapsing. And that's why I think we all feel like something should have been done. Let me ask you this about what was your take on Robinson Cano this past weekend in Miami?
I have a problem in the sense that, like, I understand these guys. I understand the Machados of the world and the Canos of the world. They had great careers doing things their way. And, you know, like 999,999 times out of a million, you hit that ball to a second baseman, you're out. The hustling thing doesn't drive me crazy in the sense that I think you could have got a base hit or you could have actually been safe if you hustled. It's more that now it's a thing. Now it's a problem. Now it's a media circus. And then to do it again the next day when you didn't run out that little dribbler, well, now it's a full-blown catastrophe because now you're arguing with the media. You're not making yourself available. Do I actually care at the end of the day about a ground ball here and there where you don't Derek Jeter it and bust your ass down the line? No, but I care about you being over the hill, washed up, nobody now that is now causing a problem on my team. Because right. All I heard about was he's a good influence for Rosario and you know, he's a good veteran presence. Well, now he's the complete opposite of that.
Yeah, he's the biggest problem on the team.
And Todd Frazier.
Right.
Now I got two old guys who are doing nothing on the field who are doing nothing but cause problems for me. Something's got to change.
So let me ask you, are you a fan of this idea? And I saw Andy Martino tweet this out, that keep an eye on Dusty Baker and keep an eye on Buck Showalter. Is that something that excites you as a Mets fan? You're going, oh, man, now these old dudes are going to get in the dugout. That's not going to save anything. And the old school mentality is not going to work anymore. Do you like the idea of a guy like Buck Showalter with this team or not?
I mean, Dusty Baker, if the Mets hire Dusty Baker, I'm jumping right off of George Washington.
Thank you.
Buck Showalter is one of those guys, you know, obviously, like, really, really well respected and revered. And I do think, like, part of the problem with this team is a little bit of, like, a fire and attitude issue, which obviously he fixes. But I don't know, man. I feel like we're kind of taking steps backwards here. Although, I wouldn't mind a phone call to Joe Girardi just to rile people up, just to stir the pot a little bit, just to get Yankee fans going. Something like that, not the worst idea. But I don't know. I don't think any of this really matters. I think making a move helps the situation. But until you have starting pitching that can actually perform, until you have a bullpen that can actually pitch, you know, well on back-to-back nights, until you have an offense that doesn't go completely to sleep for huge stretches at a time, doesn't matter who's
you know, it actually could be worse. It could be Magic Johnson, LeBron James, and Rob Pelinka.
Oh, my God.
You know, those guys all stabbing each other in the back.
That's really about it, though, Boomer. I mean, there's not many worse situations right now than the Mets-Jets life. I can't.
Now, by the way, the Jets thing, don't overreact to that, man. I'm telling you, it had to be done, and, you know, right now is the time to do it. If they get the guy that I think they're going after and they get him in here, it's going to be good for the Jets. I'm telling you.
No, I know that, but it's just the timing of it all seems like.
Why not? Now's the time to do it. There's nothing going on. Now's the time to rebuild the scouting department. Right now is the time to get the right GM in here that's going to flow with the coach, and they're going to see the game the same way. And I'm telling you.
Wouldn't it have been better to do it like at least a few months ago?
But that wasn't going to happen because of the rookie owner and the owner trying to think that he could make two personalities work together. You know this, I know this, and I think every football fan knows this. Your team is only going to be as good as your quarterback allows them to be. And in this case, you got your second-year quarterback. He's got an offensive coach. And if that quarterback buys in and that coach gives his quarterback the tools to throw easy touchdown passes, to get his confidence up, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, Sam Darnold throw for over 30 touchdowns this year, because I think that's in the mindset of Adam Gase going into the season.
Well, I mean, it's much like the Mets. Like, if the players on the field perform, none of this other stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? There's nothing like having a second-year quarterback who's supposed to be a stud. In the sport of football, that's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, both him and Gase need a really good start too.
And in baseball, you know, that may be Pete Alonso. As I was just saying to Gio, that Pete Alonso has got to be the Aaron Judge for the Yankees. You know, he's got to be the next big thing for the Mets, and he's got to be consistent, and he's got to be a leader.
Thank God.
You're right.
I mean, I don't know where I would be as a human right now if I wasn't watching Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil. Those are the only things that have been consistently good for this team.
Well,
that
Davis has been
watch.
Good. Davis yeah, has been good.
Okay. Yeah, he's been fine. I mean, yeah. But, I mean we're not. You know,
a good trade.
Davis
actually.
Can't make us happy.
Listen,
you know?
Jonathan Davis is my guy. JD has been like a pleasant surprise out of nowhere. But this is the thing with Mets, the Mets fans and the Mets organization. Like, J.D. Davis is a nice player. You can't be relying on J.D. Davis to be, like, a huge presence and a huge bat in the middle of your lineup. That's a nice, you know, X factor. That's a nice role player. That's a nice spark plug. But when you rely on those guys to be, like, a major contributor,
wow.
You know, like we were ready to crown Brody for assembling this team. And then you look around and it's like,
He's got a new second baseman, a new first baseman, and a new catcher. So those are reasons why he did trade for JD Davis. The other thing, too, remember, don't forget, They put all their money into Yoenis Cespedes, and every single one of us wanted them to do that.
Yeah, but they didn't put – for this team in a New York market, that shouldn't be all your money. You should be able to overcome.
But if he's on the field and he's in the lineup, it's a totally different story.
But he's not. And also, when you're collecting insurance on that contract, you don't spend a lot of money. And the guy you spend money on the offseason is the former client of your new general manager who's 36 years old coming off a PED suspension. Then that doesn't really sit well either, right? All right, check out the We Gotta Believe podcast, KFC Barstool. You can follow him on Twitter, KFC Radio. It's always great to talk to you, Kevin. Thanks, man.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right, Kev, take it easy.
Yeah, I mean,
now, by the way, you and your podcasts and all these things, I noticed that you're using a lot more curse words, like, in other areas.
Well, yeah, because
I
can.
Is this like what you want to do?
I'd love to be able to curse here. It'd be great.
Really?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? If both of us, because you're a great cursor, too. People don't know that. Like, off the air, you're very, very good at finding the right curse word at the right time. Because it's a skill. I really believe that. Is that those who can find the right curse word at the right time it's a skill that you possess, and I think that you are also that guy. Like,
that was a lot of bull right there. Now,
right. See, that's a great example.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're telling stories from your playing days,
yes,
you interject the perfect curse word in those stories.
Yeah,
I know. The Bruce Smith story,
yes,
or the guy who comes in with the alligator arms who's blocking for you, like all of those. The Kyle Brady story with Brian Cox, was that
the
linebacker?
When you tell spitting all over me with no teeth, yeah.
When you tell those stories,
I got to tell you what those guys are saying to me.
It's perfect.
So I understand that.
I'm just saying that
I just notice more and more now. I even noticed you on Twitter using curse words.
Yeah, it's great. It's a nice release. It is.
I don't know if this, like, do you have like a PR person that's trying to tell you to be some way or that you're not?
No, not at all.
Wondering.
No, I don't have a PR person at all. I just decide, you know, sometimes you can be yourself. It's okay.
I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That's the way I talk off the air. Why not? And you have an opportunity to talk like that into a microphone, I'm going to do it. Like, here, of course, there's restrictions.
Yeah, they had you on that podcast when you found out that Mike Maccagnan was fired.
Yes, yes.
And then your reaction was priceless.
It was my reaction, my normal reaction.
And you
reaction.
Were not even a Jet fan. That's the thing.
Well, I was just shocked. I mean, to me, the fact that we're following that team every day and that happens was just unbelievable to me. I mean, here I would say, see, here's the difference between being able to talk like that on that podcast. Here I would have to read the breaking news sponsor before I was able to react to it.
Yeah, I know.
There's the difference, you know. But, of course, we understand the business side of things. Okay,
picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.